This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Tuesday, the 18th of August, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equity markets delivered a mixed performance. At the latest US close, the S&P 500 fell 0.5%, while the Nasdaq lost 20 bips. In Europe, the stocks Europe 600 declined 30 basis points, while Switzerland's SMI was unchanged. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 dropped 2.5%, while China's Shanghai Composite gained 20 bips. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.158 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield stands at 4.74%, up 2 basis points. Brent crude is 30 bips higher at $91 a barrel, while gold is down 0.5% at $4,394 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. Against that backdrop, today's main focus is the recent rise in long-term government bond yields. The 30-year US Treasury yield has climbed above 5.31%, its highest level since 2007, while the 30-year German Bund yield has reached 3.75% for the first time since 2011. The 30-year UK gilt yield is also near its May peak of 5.85%, which was the highest since 1998. The latest moves followed last week's 30-year US Treasury bond auction, which produced its highest yield since 2001. Corporate bond supply is also elevated, with major technology companies increasingly issuing long-dated debt to fund their artificial intelligence infrastructure build-out. At the same time, investor concerns about persistent inflation and government deficits have kept longer maturity bonds under pressure. But the front end of the yield curve has remained relatively anchored, and we do not think the rise in long-term yields invalidates the case for quality fixed income. Rather, we believe it reinforces the need for selectivity. With the long end of the curve more exposed to fiscal concerns, inflation uncertainty, and lower liquidity, we continue to see short and medium maturity quality bonds as attractive. Starting yields have historically been a good indication of total returns. Elevated starting yields give investors a stronger income base than was available for much of the previous decade, and we believe today's yields provide a meaningful cushion against further rate increases before investors would experience a potential loss. In our preferred short to medium maturity segment, our analysis indicates that US Treasury yields in the 2 and 5 year tenors would need to rise by around 100 to 230 basis points from current levels for falling bond prices to cancel out income returns. This helps explain why we continue to favor quality bonds at the short and intermediate parts of the curve. Looking ahead, yields should decline as markets reassess central bank policy expectations. Current market pricing for central bank rate increases still looks too aggressive to us, and we believe quality bonds would benefit if incoming data led markets to scale back expectations for tighter policy. In the United States, for example, recent inflation and labor market data have weakened the near-term case for a Federal Reserve rate hike, and our base case is for the disinflation trend to continue in the months ahead. In Europe, we expect limited further tightening, with policymakers likely mindful of risks to economic growth. Corporate fundamentals also remain healthy. The corporate credit market has remained resilient, with spreads close to cycle lows and yield-seeking investors continuing to add exposure during bouts of volatility. But we think this resilience is not only a function of demand, as corporate balance sheets generally remain in good shape despite higher borrowing costs and an uncertain economic backdrop. The market has also benefited from improved average credit quality across indices and lower index duration, which have helped limit sensitivity to market volatility. Still, we believe rising performance dispersion across sectors and issuers reinforces the case for selectivity. So, we continue to favour quality short and medium maturity fixed income, although we see scope to extend duration in the Eurozone. For investors seeking more diversified income approaches, select exposure to emerging market and high yield credit can also be considered, alongside equity income and yield generating structured investment strategies. Turning now to another development that caught our attention. New official data from China suggest the macroeconomic recovery weakened at the start of the second half of 2026. Industrial output growth slowed to 4.5% year over year in July, from 5.3% previously. Retail sales edged up 0.6%, below consensus expectations of 1.5%. Fixed asset investment contracted by 6.7% in the first 7 months, while new home prices fell 3.2% year over year. Extreme weather added to the weakness, but subdued domestic demand, fading trade-in subsidies, and the prolonged property downturn remain the broader constraints. In our view, the softer data, while not welcome, should bolster the case for additional policy easing. Regardless, government bond issuance and potentially a cut to the reserve requirement ratio. Regardless, we continue to anticipate an uneven recovery. Artificial intelligence and green technology exports continue to support high-end manufacturing, while household consumption, property, and broader investment remain weak. Within Chinese equities, we continue to prefer technology, particularly semiconductors, foundries, hardware, artificial intelligence, supply chains, and internet platforms, where innovation, localization, and policy support should drive growth. We believe investors should complement this exposure with high-yield financials, healthcare and power and equipment, focusing on companies with resilient earnings, strong balance sheets, and reasonable valuations. Looking ahead to Wednesday, the 19th of August, the focus will be on UK inflation for July and a speech by European Central Bank President Christine Lagarde. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.